All right, so I wanted to talk about something that's kind of connected to what I usually talk about anyway. This idea of, I mean, you have to actually use a language to improve in it, really, if that's your real goal. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Kowalczyk. I'm an ESL instructor. I've been teaching English to non-native speakers since 2007, so this will be my 18th year, I believe. I did 6 years in Japan. And the rest here in the LA Orange County area. So mo this podcast is mainly for current and former students, but if anyone else is listening, thank you and I hope you get something out of it. A student recently asked me about there were a lot of vocabulary items or words and phrases in a list that I had given the student, and it sounded like the student was concerned about, which words do I use and in what situation, right? Because there are many ways to express a similar idea, right? We have a lot of synonyms and phrasal verbs, or there could be academic equivalents. Maybe you can use an idiom instead of a regular word, and so on. So, why do you say piece of cake? You can just say very easy, right? So I think that's kind of what the student was getting at, and I can understand that totally. From my time in Japan, is which word do I use, right? What should I say? Is this the right word to use in this situation or is it not, right? And I think what can happen a lot of times is we get stuck when we're trying to think of the perfect thing to say. And again, I totally understand. I've been in that situation when I was living in Japan, but also here in the US when I was studying Japanese. So I bring this up all the time in class. I totally understand when you feel stuck. When you're not sure what to say, I totally get it. I'm gonna call this podcast tentatively, I'm gonna call it Don't Reinvent the Wheel. So here's what I mean. Now, let me take a look at my notes. So, one thing I would say is you don't need to invent new sentences every time you speak, right? I think that a lot of students will do that, myself included, is that we'll try to translate something directly from our native language, in our brain. And you just can't do that. I mean, it's not going to sound natural, and it may actually sound weird, like incomprehensible, and especially if the languages are very different. But even like Spanish and English, which are share a lot of things in common, or English and German, for example, which are have even more in common. If you directly translate things, it can sound unnatural, or it can actually not make any sense. But you don't need to do that, right? Language learning is not about directly translating from your first language to the second language. A lot of language learning is about seeing models of language and then repackaging them to meet to fit your situation. So you're not, and this kind of gets to the other point where you're not trying to translate each word, right? Or each idea. You're trying to think of your communication a little more holistically. So, what is the general idea that you want to convey, right? So, you're not translating each word. You're thinking of responses that are what we call stock responses, things that people, groups of words that often go together. Sounds good. Let me check. No problem. Those are the kind of the easier ones. But what you're doing is a lot of conversation. If you pay attention in your first language, if you talk to people in your first language, you think about your own experiences. A lot of things that people say are not terribly original. They're not very original, right? They're repackaged chunks that are kind of fit together, maybe, but there's really not a lot of original things that people are saying, at least the phrases, okay? If you pay attention, you really notice that. I'm going to call them recycled chunks. You're not inventing anything. So, again, this idea of don't reinvent the wheel. Just use what you have already observed, right? And I think that's one of the key differences I see with a lot of immigrants, for example, in the United States. Maybe they didn't really go to school for a long time in the United States, but they worked with people in English, right? And so they're going to use a lot of these recycled chunks. They're going to use a lot of these phrases that often aren't taught in books, but it sounds much more natural because they're learning language, I guess, in real life situations. Whereas on the other hand, I have seen a lot of students who are very high level in terms of test taking ability, but they haven't really used English a lot in real life communication, and maybe they haven't actually really read any much in English. They don't, maybe they haven't watched a lot of TV in English. They just kind of studied it, right? So when they're talking or writing, they're not really using these chunks, these phrases. I feel like they're often trying to directly translate from their first language, which again, it can sound not only unnatural, but also can actually be incomprehensible. Like, I don't understand it. And it's okay. This is what I did in Japan. I mean, for a long time, I was directly translating a lot of things, trying to come up with, think of the best word to use in the situation. But over time, I learned to just observe how people were speaking in Japan, or on TV or in the podcast. I would take notes, reading magazines and newspapers and books and so on, and just observing these chunks, these phrases that were commonly occurring, and using those, but, you know, kind of mixing them around to match the situation that I was in. So it's not like you're a parrot, of course. You're not repeating exactly what other people are saying, but you're not creating new sentences. I want to try to say it that way. You're kind of mixing different pieces together. Took me a while to do that, but that was more effective, right? And if you're able to understand this podcast, you know, you're probably at that stage where you're more advanced and you should be able to do this. I think there's the idea that a lot of people try to learn a language without actually using it in real life situations. I think it's normal to get frustrated, like, well, you know, the way people are talking, it's not like in the book. Well, of course not, right? I mean, language is very dynamic, right? We have a wide range of vocabulary in every language, and people also talk differently. Their pronunciation's a little bit different, you know, and so on. There's a lot of variety in English or any language. It's a living thing, right? It's going to be very dynamic, and there's going to be a lot of variety. And so you have to learn a language. Now, I understand some people actually cannot speak for whatever, maybe a disability or something, but I think you understand what I'm saying is that I think some students think that they can learn a language without actually using it. Maybe I'll say that word, using it. Just the textbook is enough, but that's not the case, right? You have to read books, you have to read newspapers, or you have to listen to podcasts, you have to watch the news or watch TV. You have to listen to people talk in real life, you know, just listening to people at the cafe. You know, maybe you're standing in line or you're having a coffee by yourself. You're just listening to people talk, right? I mean, that's an important part of truly acquiring a language. I know a lot of students try to master grammar first, right? Okay, I need to get this grammar structure and then I can speak better or write better. And that's fine. I mean, you do want to have correct grammar, but it doesn't have to be perfect, right? Some students try to memorize a lot of words and they think that's going to help them. That's not enough though, right? You can't just memorize a word. You have to see how the word is used in real life. You have to hear the word in a real conversation. You have to see when the word can be used and when it's not appropriate, right? You are making mistakes. You have to make mistakes because that's how you know when a word can or cannot be used in that situation, right? I think this is a normal thing, though. I think this is a human thing, right? We want to get something, but in a way that's comfortable, right? I totally get it. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Nobody does. Well, most people don't. But, I mean, truly acquiring a language, not just passing a test, right? Not just repeating vocabulary. But to truly acquire a language, you're going to need to make mistakes. It's going to be uncomfortable a lot of times, but that's going to be how you learn. Right? You don't just, I mean, if you're a 100 level student, you're not going to go to a job interview in English, right? No, of course not, right? If it's your first day learning how to drive, you're not going to go on the freeway at 6 p.m. at night, right? Of course not, on a Friday night. No way, right? There are stages. You do have to slowly build up to that. But you're going to have to be in real life or realistic situations, okay? Another point I had was negotiating meaning through conversation. So I think I see this a lot when students are practicing in class, is that a lot of, I saw this in Japan as well. You know, a lot of times people, when they're having a conversation in, you know, in a language class, it's not a real conversation. Sometimes they're just saying what they want to say and then kind of not listening to the other person, right? But conversations are often a negotiation of meaning, right? So you don't know exactly what you want to say in the beginning, or you don't have the perfect statement, right? What you do is you start the conversation and the other person asks questions, or they say something and you correct them, and you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And eventually, hopefully, you can arrive at a shared meaning where you both are on the same page, right? So what I'm trying to say is, again, a lot of times I know students, myself included, in Japan, is that we try to think of exactly what we want to say before we say it, right? And then we try to put everything into that first, I don't know, thing that we say. But I think in real life, or at least in our first language, we're talking and the other person says, I don't understand, or they ask a question and you say, no, that's not right. Here's what I want to say. And again, it's kind of a back and forth, right? You're slowly negotiating a shared meaning. And then hopefully by the end of the conversation, you both understand things the same way. You're both clear on the same page. And you don't need to have a high level of vocabulary to do that, right? I've seen a lot of slightly lower level students who, through talking and asking questions and clarifying, can arrive at a shared meaning. And so again, you don't have to be perfect the first thing you say. Just let the conversation keep going and correct and ask questions, and eventually you'll arrive at a shared meaning. Of course, ChatGPT is going to help you with this as well. So I made a couple videos about this, and I have a few podcast episodes about how to do this. But if you want to express something in English, you can write in your first language in ChatGPT or another LLM or AI tool, is you can write down what you want to say in your native language and ask ChatGPT to help you. How can I say this naturally in English? Please give me different situation, or please give me different ways to say this depending on the situation, right? Check out those videos for sure. And this is a good way to prepare yourself, right? And you don't want to over-prepare, because then you're going to be overwhelmed by all the things you have to remember. But you can take notes on it. You can study it. Please give me... I made a video about when I went to a massage... I don't know what to call it. Not a spa, but like a massage place in Japan. And I had to explain, you know, my physical situation and so on. So I asked for three different ways to explain this stuff. So I asked it in English, and then it gave me the Japanese. And it gave me a formal way to explain it, like maybe if I wasn't talking to a doctor. It gave me a more casual way to say it. And then it gave me kind of a very lighthearted way to say it. But it was super useful. Did I remember everything? No, but I took some notes. And then when I went to that massage place, that was about 4 months ago when I was traveling in Japan, it really helped. And this is something that you can kind of just do in your free time. You can fill your notebook with different phrases. And what it was doing is it was preventing me from directly translating things from English to Japanese. It was giving me Japanese phrases, chunks or groups of words that I can use, stock phrases. And that doesn't mean I'm just... Like I said before, it doesn't mean I'm a parrot. I'm not just imitating something, and that's not a bad thing. Language is imitation. Think of your kids, or when you were a very young child, you were imitating adults, right, when you were speaking. And then you internalize them. The more you use it, you internalize it, and then you'll be able to use it even without thinking. And that's another thing that I noticed, that after I moved back to the U.S. about 10 years ago, I was in Japan for about 6 years, then I came back to the U.S. in 2015. I didn't speak Japanese after I came back to the U.S. So my kind of automatic responses were gone for a lot of things. So now when I speak Japanese, like when I went back to Japan 4 months ago, I had to really think. I was kind of translating from English to Japanese, or trying to remember my Japanese phrases, for simple conversations. Whereas when I was living in Japan, a lot of times when I was speaking, it was automatic. I was constantly recycling and reusing phrases and kind of moving them around, mixing and matching to match the situation. But it's no longer automatic. So I'll say that. Again, I kind of mentioned this at the beginning, but you need exposure to real life situations if you truly want to acquire a language and know what to say and when to say it and to sound natural. Again, TV, radio, podcasts, YouTube, even like I said, just listening to people around you. I know we're on our phones a lot when we're outside, waiting for your food or waiting in line for something. Listen to people talking. I know it's uncomfortable sometimes because it's not so clear, but if you're only relying on a textbook or you're only memorizing lists of words from a dictionary or something, you're not gonna get to where you need to be. You won't know when to use a word. You're not gonna internalize that. When you're memorizing things, it's staying in one part of your brain, but when you're using it and experiencing it in different situations, it's gonna go to a different part of your brain. It's gonna really stick with you, is the best way I can say it. Imagine trying to learn how to swim without ever actually getting into the pool. Learning how to play music if you never actually hear the music, right? Trying to learn how to drive a car, but you never get on the freeway, right? I mean, you have to take that next step. I know it's uncomfortable, it's inconvenient maybe for a lot of people, but I mean, I gotta tell you, when I was learning Japanese, when I started learning, well, I did learn some when I was a kid, of course, because my mom is from Japan, if you don't know. But when I was really studying it, like when I was serious, when I was 16, I started to get more serious about learning Japanese, and then I did move to Japan after high school for a while. So I was watching TV shows and taking notes. Listening to music, taking notes, using my paper dictionary. I mean, this was like 25 years ago, 26 years ago. I was, when I went to Little Tokyo, I had a job in Little Tokyo as well, but even just when I was hanging out there, I'd listen to people. When I was traveling in Japan, I would talk to people, and it wasn't easy, it was uncomfortable, but I also had a lot of fun. And I know my students, they kind of get more engaged. Maybe not fun per se, but it's more exciting. And it's just what you have to do, to be honest. Do I have anything else to say? I mean, I think you just have to be honest with yourself. If you truly want to be able to communicate better, more authentically, more naturally, more automatically, I'll say, if that truly is your goal, you got to engage more with real English. But take notes, and I think this is a big thing students miss, is that they'll watch TV, for example, they're really enjoying the TV show. They'll use their phone to check the meaning of a word, but they don't write it down. They don't take notes. I see that a lot. I know you're enjoying the show, so maybe you forget. Go back and watch the show again. Watch the movie again. Maybe not the same day, maybe a week later. When I was studying Japanese, I would, if I really liked a TV show or a movie, I would watch it two or three times. Now, if I was just relaxing, yeah, maybe I'll watch a show, I'll check my dictionary sometimes, and but I always wrote notes. I'll tell you that. I always wrote notes. Even if I only watched one time, I would always take notes. But for the things that I really liked, the songs or the movies or TV shows I really, really liked, or the books that I read, if I really liked it, I would go back a second or a third time, and that would really internalize it. Let me give you a quick picture. So let's imagine I was watching an episode of a TV show. Now, the first time I watch it, just trying to enjoy, get into the mood, enjoy the vibe of the show. Maybe I don't understand everything, right? I hear some words, I don't know, maybe I make a note, but I try not to stop. And then maybe a few days later, I'll watch the show again, but I'll pause when there's new words and I'll use the captions, right? Unfortunately, I remember in Japan, I don't know why, but a lot of shows did not have captions, or even movies. A lot of movies or shows did not have captions. I have no idea why. I don't know about today, but I remember like 20 years ago, I would get TV show VHS tapes or DVDs, and a lot of times there would be no captions. It was really weird because it's standard in the US. I'm pretty sure now it's more common, but I would pause and I would make notes. I would write down what they said, and I would check my dictionary and write it in my notebook. Then maybe a few days later, a week later, I would watch it again. And this time, the third time, I would understand everything, right? And so hearing that repetition, seeing the words being used in a realistic context, I would really internalize it. And I had my notebook, and I would be checking my notebook every day. Of course, being in Tokyo, I took the train to work, and that was a good opportunity to study. I wasn't on my phone when I was commuting to work. Rarely on my phone. I didn't really play video games or anything. I really didn't listen to music either. I would just study on the train, and that gave me about 30 to 60 minutes a day of studying. Or I would be reading too, sometimes, maybe not studying. But I would always be using my notebook. I would have my notebook at home or in my backpack on my way to work or something like that. And I mean, this was 20 years ago, right, when I first moved there, 22, 21 years ago. And now the technology that's available today, I mean, it's amazing, right? If I wanted to know how to say something more naturally in Japanese, I would have to ask somebody, right? And I had about four language partners, so we would speak English and Japanese together at a cafe. One of them ended up being my girlfriend. But I would have to ask people, hey, I want to try to say this in Japanese, but it doesn't sound right. Can you help me make it sound more natural? But I would have to actually ask people for help. And that was really great too, because that can open up conversations. But my point is now with the technology that you have, you don't need to ask someone. You can just ask ChatGPT, hey, here's what I want to say in Japanese. I'm going to write it in English. Can you help me say it in Japanese, but maybe in different situations? If I'm talking to a doctor, how do I explain my back problem? If I'm talking to a neighbor, how do I explain the same problem, but more casually? How do I make a joke in Japanese? Things like that. So, I mean, it's just amazing the technology that's available. I think you just have to now just make that effort. So I think that's about it. That's about 20 minutes. And again, I want to say, yeah, maybe I'll just close with this story. So I kind of think of conversations in the second language, and you're always trying to think of the perfect thing to say before you say anything. I understand that. You want to get it right. You want to have the correct grammar and vocabulary. But sometimes then you say nothing, right? You just kind of be silent, and then the opportunity's gone because you're overthinking it. Like I said, conversation is a negotiation of meaning. You're talking to the other person, they're going to respond to you, you're going to reply, they're going to respond, you're going to respond, and over time, hopefully you can get to some shared understanding. I always think of all the opportunities I had in the past to talk to a woman. Maybe she was waiting at the park, or not the park, maybe she was waiting at the train station and I was there too. Although it doesn't really happen in Japan that much, but or at a bar or at a restaurant or at a museum or somewhere where I think, hey, maybe I can go talk to this person, right? But a lot of times I'll be thinking in my head, what do I say? How do I say it? Am I going to be too strong? What if she has a boyfriend? What's the best thing to say? Should I say it this way? Should I say it that way? And if I'm thinking of the perfect thing to say, then she might just leave, right? The opportunity's gone. So I know it's not easy because, I get nervous, of course, but maybe just starting with a hello or how's your day or something like if we're at a museum, say, oh, how do you like it so far? Have you seen anything you really like here today? And then kind of just seeing where that conversation goes, right? Where I don't need to say a perfect thing in the beginning. I don't want to be weird, but just kind of open the conversation in a safe way and just see if the conversation continues. And if it doesn't continue, that's okay too, right? I know it's not exactly the same as what I'm trying to express or trying to tell you about when you're learning a language, but I think it's a similar idea, is that you don't need to say the perfect thing in the beginning. You just need to get the conversation moving. And through that conversation, you're going to make mistakes probably, but you can hopefully arrive at a shared meaning, a shared understanding. I'm going to end it here. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on YouTube, you can leave a question or a comment or a suggestion. And I do have some other ideas for future podcasts, but always let me know if there's anything that you'd be interested in as well.